Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
Thank you, Brother Damon. I know I'm preaching to somebody today that loves God. Because if you didn't love God, you probably wouldn't be here. Matthew chapter number 16. Man, I'm getting old. I got to get my glasses out. I've developed some things in my old age. One of them is OCD. Old, cranky, and dangerous. I thought I had arthritis, but I don't believe I really do. I think it might be early onset of rigor mortis. Matthew chapter 16, beginning reading at verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. You can be seated. Again, thank you for coming. It's a cold, wet day, and I can't wait to leave West Virginia for a little while. Amen. I was reading these passages of Scripture, and they've been read and preached by so many, but there's a few things that I wanted to mention concerning them. This is the first time that the word church is mentioned in the Bible is in these verses here. There's no reference or church in the Old Bible, but there is a reference to the church in the New Testament. It's referred to the church in the wilderness in the Old Bible, but the word church is not mentioned in the Old Bible. And so this is a passage of Scripture that probably everybody has preached out of. I've preached out of it numerous times, but I'm going to go a little different way today. Sometimes you see things a little bit better once you begin to study and understand what's going on. Jesus, he began to ask the disciples, "What is people saying about me?" Boy, when you get people's thoughts, you're gonna run across a lot of different avenues. But he wanted to know what people thought about him, and it's still the same today. You could get 10 people together, and there'll probably be 10 different things that they could think about what they thought about Jesus. And they did. The people, they had a lot of different opinions of him. What got me about it was they wanted to think he was a reincarnation of some of the dead prophets. But you and I know that he ain't no reincarnation of nothing. Amen. And when he found out what the people would say, he wanted to know what the disciples thought about him. And for the first time, Peter got it right. He usually messes up real bad and gets things wrong. But Peter said that thou art the Christ. He didn't say thou art a Christ. He said thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when he did that, Jesus told him, said, man, you're blessed, Peter. You know, we are all something, belong to something that's bigger than we even know ourselves. We belong to a kingdom. And when you get saved and you get in God's church, you're in a kingdom that's greater than anything you've ever been in or ever could ever hope to be in. The Bible refers to the body of Christ and the church. It refers to it in three ways in the scriptures, as a bride and as a building and as a body. And there's three different ways, and because when the people rejected God, the old Bible, he came for him a bride, and he's got that bride, and she's preparing herself, getting ready for his coming. And so the proclamation that Peter gave is something that a lot of people don't understand. They want to look at Jesus as a good man, as a prophet, as a great teacher, but he was more than a man. He was more than just a prophet. He came to reveal God. And he came to show. People had, in the Old Testament, they had a fear of God. I mean, all they could hear was the thundering on the mountain, the lightning, and the voices and the sound. And there was a fear of God because they couldn't see him. He was invisible. And because they couldn't see him, they could only hear him, they feared him. But Jesus came as the express image of the invisible God. He come to show you who God really is, who God really was. He come to reveal the character of God. And he was the only body that God ever had and still has. But he wanted to reveal some things in these scriptures here. And when Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, it was a proclamation that the whole world needs to be revealed to. A lot of people don't have good things to say about a church. They want to run it down. They'll say, I'll tell you what's wrong with that church down there. They need to do this and they need to do that. They know what's wrong with it. They don't come, but they know what's wrong with it. They never darken the door. And a lot of times, it's people who know better than to run the church down. If they could just fall in love with Jesus, they'd fall in love with his church. I love people. I absolutely love people. I can't hardly wait sometimes to get to the church just to look at people. My wife used to go Christmas shopping, and I'd say, you go in and do all you want to, and I'd get me a bench, and I'd watch people shop. And here comes the man following after his wife. She's got three or four kids, and he barely can make it to the bench. I'll be here when you come back. I love to watch stuff like that. But here's the thing of it. He said, Jesus said, I know that you know who I am. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Now, there is a flesh and blood revelation, and there is a Father in heaven revelation. Most people don't get beyond some say. Here's what Peter said, some say. This is about as far as a lot of people get, and the some say they don't have the revelation. There is a revelation that has to be revealed by God, and then there is you can get stuff revealed by observation. Anybody can have an observation. For instance, if you see a turtle on a post, you don't have to have a revelation to know that somebody put that turtle there. You got that from observation. But when you really want to know the mysteries of God, they got to be revealed to you. And he said, because you said that, Peter, he said, upon this rock, upon the revelation of who I am, I'm going to build my church. Jesus came. The people said this about him. And Peter had the proclamation of, you art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But Jesus had a praise for Peter. Now, it's not too often that Jesus will praise anybody. But boy, he did for Peter. He said, blessed are you, Peter. If you know who Jesus is, you're one of the most blessed persons on the face of the earth today. I mean, if you were born and become a billionaire and die and go to your grave without knowing who Jesus is, you've missed everything. If a man should gain the whole world and lose his life, what shall it profit him? So the revelation, and this is what we need to do. When Jesus began to praise Peter, he said, Peter, blessed are you. Man, I love it when God begins to bless you. Ain't nothing nobody can do about it. But the purpose of Jesus coming was to build a church. And he said, I will build my church. It's not Damon's church. It's not nobody else's church. It's Jesus' church. You're just an overseer of an under-shepherd. But the church is going to be built by Jesus. I'm glad because if I had to put any part into it, I don't know anything about building. I mean, I don't know nothing about building. I see people that are skilled in carpentry, and they can build this and build that. Somebody asked me one time, said, what is your skill? I said, I don't have much of a skill. I'm 30 years on a bread route, and it don't take much skill to lay bread on a shelf. That's about the extent of my skill, my labor, But I'm working on a building now. I'm helping. Bible says we are laborers together with God. We're in this thing trying to get the kingdom of God built up, trying to get people saved, trying to get people to have the revelation of who Jesus is. We're preaching the kingdom of God in something greater than ourselves. That's why you are here today, because you believe in something greater than yourself. You could have stayed home, would have been cozy and warm and a lot of food and everything, but you decided to come out and visit with God, and God's going to visit with his people. He's here today as much as he's ever here today, because he's in his church. We belong to a bride that can't be divorced. We belong to a building that can't be destroyed. We belong to a body that can't be diseased. And it's called the church, the body of Christ. Amen. Jacob, get me Ephesians 1 and 22. Everybody running the church down. They want to tell you what's wrong with the church. But let me tell you what's right with the church. The church has got the right foundation. We'll build up on the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, the stone that the builders rejected. God has took that stone and made it the chief cornerstone of a building, of a church, of a kingdom. And we belong to that. And the Bible says, talking concerning Jesus, and he hath put all things under his feet and give him to be the head over all things to the church. We cannot be the head of the church. I don't care how big we get. Jesus is the head of the church. We don't have no headquarters except in heaven. Now, I know there's a lot of people down here that have headquarters for churches they belong to. I heard of an old-time West Virginia preacher that they told the church, said, we want to do something good for you and your wife. And said, We're going to get you some tickets to the Holy Land. And he went home and said, honey, we're going to Cleveland, Tennessee. He said, I will build my church. It's not going down. In fact, it's going the opposite direction. It's going up. Why? Because Jesus was the architect. He was the one that started this thing. And he said, let you know, be confident of this very thing. He which began a good work in you will also perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. I ain't worried about falling out. Listen, if you're going to fall out, I never understand why people can fall out with the church. You remember in Acts, a boy by the name of Tychicus sitting in the window listening to Paul preaching? He fell asleep. He fell out. Nobody ever falls in. Well, somebody say, well, you go to that church anymore? No, I fell out. Well, why'd you fall out? You're like the guy that's stranded on an island for years, and finally they rescued him, and then they look back as he's on the ship, and they ask him what them three buildings was. He said, well, that one's my home, And he said, what's that other? And he said, that's my church. And he said, well, what's the third building? He said, that's the church I used to go to. That's sad, but there's a lot of truth in that. But anyway, we're talking about the purpose of Jesus was to build a church, and he's doing it. He's not behind. He's on time. It's not that he can't get no workers. He can get all the workers he wants. It's just that when the time has come, it's going to be finished, and we're going to be in it. Let me tell you what a lot of things about the church is. Give me Ephesians chapter 2. Go down to verse 11, I think. Wherefore remember ye that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called a circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Next verse. That at the time you were without Christ. Now this is talking about when we was, before we get saved, who is without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants and promises, having no hope. Oh, Lord, that's bad. And without God in this world. But now. Oh, don't you love when God butts in? But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that you might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built up the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You know where Jesus lives? Right here. Right here. You brought so much of him here, and I brought so much, and we unite together, and man, there's a lot of Jesus here. What about the price of the church? Anytime you go to build something, there's going to be a cost. There's no cost to me, and there's no cost to you, but boy, there was a high price paid for the church that Jesus built. How did he build it? What did it cost him? Okay, it says in Acts 20 and 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over thee which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. God purchased his church with his own blood. And it said for you to take heed that you feed the church. Now, sometimes you might have to have catering service. And it shouldn't be like that. But the price that was paid for the church that we are in, that we have access to, was by the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 1:22 and Ephesians 5 and 23 said Christ is the head of the church, the Savior of the body. Romans 5 and 9, much more now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Ephesians 1 and 7, in whom we also have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Colossians 1:14, we have redemption through his blood. Hebrews 9 and 12, whether by the blood of goats and calves, neither by, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal redemption for us. I didn't get a temporary salvation. I got an eternal redemption. And it's as good as long as Jesus is alive. And he'll never die again. He said, I'm he that liveth. I was once dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Eternal redemption. Hebrews 9:22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hebrews 10:19. Having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 13:12. He sanctified us with his blood. Revelation 1, he loved us and he washed us from our sins in his own blood. Hallelujah. We are part of the church because we've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Revelation 12 and 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So that's the price that Jesus paid for the church. And I don't know about y'all. I believe God gave America a reprieve on the judgment that was coming. I really do. I'm rejoicing this November like I've never rejoiced in a long time. Because I read in the Bible where a man, God told him, said, you go tell him to get his house in order. He's going to die. And the prophet went in and said, get your house in order. You're going to die. And the prophet turned around to walk out. And the man turned his face to the wall. And he began to tell how good things he had done, what all this. And as long as he was telling about what all he had done for God and how good he was and how he had been faithful to Sunday school and all this stuff, the prophet just kept on walking out of the temple. But all of a sudden, he cried out and said, God, he said, the dead cannot praise you. And when he said, the dead can't praise you, hallelujah, God spoke to that prophet and said, turn around and go back and tell him I'm going to give him 15 more years because I found somebody that's wanting to praise me. I believe if America would turn back to God and start praising and worshiping God like we used to, I believe God would give us a longer reprieve. Hallelujah. I also saw a place in the old Bible where God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach and tell them I'm going to destroy that city. And Jonah did not want to go. He caught a ship going somewhere else. But God throwed him overboard. And when he throwed him overboard, he spent 3 days in Whale University. And when he came out of Whale University, he hit the beach and said, which way's Nineveh? I'm telling you, when God's got his hand on you, you got to do what he says. Amen. There was 120,000 people in Nineveh that didn't know their left hand from the right hand. And God said, I'm going to destroy it. And boy, when he said that, the king started fasting. He made his horses and cows and hogs fast, if they had hogs. A lot of people don't believe in eating ham. Somebody asked me one time, could you go to heaven eating ham? I said, oh, yeah, probably get there quicker. Everybody started to pray and fast and turn into God. And God told Jonah, go back and tell him, I'm going to spare that city. Why? And I believe as long as we are a voice begin to cry out and worship and turn back to God, God will hold judgment back. I want to see my kids and my great-grandkids grow up and get saved and get into the kingdom of God. I might not be here to see it, but I'm a preaching. It can happen because God loves mercy. Hallelujah to God. But listen to the promise that Jesus gave when he told Peter that he said, I'm going to build my church. He's building it, and it's on time. But he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. I want to tell you something right now. The devil's been after me for years, but I'm still here. I've been knocked down many a time, but I've not been knocked out. Hallelujah. I've died twice, but somebody had enough faith at 5 o'clock in the morning to say, today's the day that God's going to move for your dad. You see, we need the body of Christ. We are members one of another. When I can't pray, somebody can pray for me. When you can't pray, let somebody pray for you. Why? It's a body ministry, and God moves by faith. He don't care how much you cry. He don't care how sad you get. He just cares about how much faith you got. You believe he can do it, he'll do it. I don't care what you say. The promise that Jesus gives said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And you know, back in the old Bible, judgment was declared around the gates. All of the elders and officials sit around the gate. People come in and they'd say, what do you need judged about? And they would tell them what's going on. And the elders would get together and they would judge it. Here's what Jesus is saying. All of the authority and the devil has, it's not going to destroy my church. I don't care who officials are. I don't care who's the president. I don't care who's the Congress, who's in the House. He said, there's nothing going to come against my church. My church is going to stand. It's going to be here when I come back for it. It's going to be ready like a bride adorned for the groom. And we can put aside everything and say, well, I just don't think I can make it. Well, why don't you think you can make it? Did you know Acts 1 and 8? Let me tell you what the church has power. The devil wishes he had the power that we try to give him. He really does. He don't have no power. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. If he has any power, he has to get it from Jesus. But I think it's Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 28 or something. It's a prophecy concerning Jesus. He said, I will lay the key of David on his shoulder. So the key of David. And it also says that the government shall be upon his shoulder. And so when he gave the key of David, here Jesus is giving keys to Peter. The devil don't have no keys. If he has any, Jesus took them. When he came out of the grave, he said, I've got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. But he gave us the keys to the kingdom. He told Peter, he said, whatever you lock up here on earth, I'll lock in heaven. What you lock up in heaven, I'll lock here on earth. I'm going to tell you something. Acts 1 and 8 said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, I know the Holy Ghost has come upon us. We've got the power. We've got power. We just don't think we do, but we do have. We have the Holy Ghost. If you got the Holy Ghost in you, you got all the power that's in God. That's right. You know what the fruits of the Spirit are? They're given by one Spirit. I don't care how many fruits they are. They work by the same Spirit. That's the Holy Ghost. And when a church is full of the Holy Ghost, there's going to be miracles done. There's going to be signs. There's going to be wonders. Why? Because God wants to confirm the truth with the signs following. And here's what happened. In Acts chapter 8, the Bible said great persecution came upon the church, and they all began to scatter abroad. Jesus had already told them, go out into the uttermost parts of the world, into Samaria and the uttermost parts, and proclaim the word of God. But they wanted to hang around Jerusalem where the Holy Ghost first came down. They didn't want to leave that, but persecution came. God sends persecution for a reason. If you think this church is going to survive and thrive without persecution, you're badly wrong. The church down the road will talk about you. The church up the road will talk about you. They'll try to keep their people from coming to hear you. They don't want you to hear the truth. They don't want you to know about Jesus. They're afraid they're going to lose a member. Hallelujah. If God put you in a church, then you can't be gotten out. Jesus said, you're in my Father's hand. Nobody can go from him. Hallelujah. But here's the thing of it is, the church had power in the acts of the apostles, not the thoughts of the apostles, not the hopes, not the dreams, not the wishes, the acts of the apostles. I want to see a move of the Holy Ghost. How am I going to see that? It's going to have to be through somebody. You could be the very ones. You could be the very one that the Holy Ghost come in and give a word or a vision or something that could turn Crab Orchard upside down. I believe that. If I didn't believe that, I'd quit preaching tonight. I believe that God's going to do something in this last day. I believe it's going to be a great power because he give us the keys to the kingdom. Somebody got any keys? Give me some keys. Anybody got any keys? Everybody walked to church today, I guess. Okay. Okay, here's the keys. belongs to Brandon's car. I can drive that car anywhere I want to, and I've never made a payment on it because I got the keys. I've never shined it, never washed it, never done anything to it. I can run it out of gas. You know why? I got the keys. Sometimes we fail to forget we got the keys. I got a car out there a little over 3 years old. I don't have a key for it. I got a little thing like this. It's a nice ride. I just get close to it and the lights come on the handles to let me know how to open the door. But I got to get close to it. I've got something in my hand, and when I get close to it, it can be in my pocket anywhere. You see, when the church starts getting closer to the key, closer to what we got, then we can see things happen. I don't have to put a key in nothing. The lights come in and show me where the door handle is. I touch it, and all the doors open up. Every lock opens up. And I just slide in and push a button and drive on down the road. Why? Because I got the key. Oh, Lord, if when the church realizes we got the key, the devil can't take the key from us. Let me tell you something. I'm on the winning side. I'm not defeated. I can never be defeated because I belong to a church that can't go down. I'm a sore loser. Let me tell you something. I hate to lose anything. We teach our kids, oh, you got to be a good sport. Baloney on that. I don't believe in being a good sport. I teach my kids, you're playing pickleball and you lose, you jump over the fence and you don't say it's a good game. You hit him over the head with a paddle. That's what you do. And you go back and practice and practice. I'm a sore loser. When I lose, I got to go to God, find out what happened. That's what the old prophets did. Good sportsman, nothing. You think I'm going to pet the devil and say, oh, you got me this time. No. I'm going to tell him, like, here, devil, I ain't taking your junk no more. You gotta raise up and let the devil know you got power. Because he wants you to think you're nothing. Oh, it's a dread. I got a full-length mirror in my hallway. And I have a good time with that mirror. I go up and I look at it. And the first voice that comes out says, oh, you look bad. That's Eddie talking. Ooh, you're weak. That's Eddie talking. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost down inside of me starts talking. He said, let the weak say I'm strong. And then I start coming alive. I said, yeah. I said, you're going to fail. And I begin to say, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're letting the inner man do the talking. We're going to have victory like you never thought you've had before. We listen to old man. We listen to this flesh. We love to pet this flesh. Oh, yeah, we like to say, oh, you got a good reason. There's no reason why. Honey, I'm 80 years old. I can't stay in bed. I got to get up and do something. That's exactly right. I had so much problem with my back. Let me tell you what. The devil was killing me. I loved to walk. I loved to exercise. But I couldn't walk. My back was giving me so much trouble. I had to quit walking. I thought, oh God, what am I going to do? Lord, please, that's the only exercise I can do. And all of a sudden, a quarter fell out of my hand, and I had to bend over to pick it up and went, ugh. And I got a thought, you know why my back hurts so bad? Because I quit bending over. I got me one of these handles with a stick on it, and I'll go out in the backyard, and I'll stand straight and pick it up and put it in the box. I can't. No wonder my back don't work. I quit bending over. So you know what I started doing? I got me a bunch of quarters. I got 40 of them in the living room. I scatter them through all the house, and I go back behind them, and I reach down, and I'll pick it up. I reach down to pick up another one. I stand up straight every time I pick up one. You know what? I got to where I could walk again without my back hurting. Why? Because you got to get up and move. You got to do something. Don't let the devil make. You know what people are doing in the wintertime? Closing the blinds and it's keeping it dark inside. Oh, we don't want no cold air to get in. Honey, cut every light you got on. Brighten things up. Begin to talk. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus.
Jesus. I'm alive. I've got the spirit of life in me. I'm not a loser. I'm a winner. Jesus is on my side. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. We got the power, the keys to unlock and to lock stuff up. You know what? When you get through praying and you feel the Spirit of God, you need to start decreeing some things. While you're in the Spirit, say, my kids is coming to God. This sickness is leaving my body. I believe it was Eliphaz told Job, when a man's right with God, he can decree a thing and it'll come to pass. And I believe that today. I believe with all of my heart when our walk was with God. And here's the first thing the devil is going to tell you. As soon as you mess up, he's going to say, see, you're not righteous. Listen, I was put in a righteous body. And I'm as righteous as that body is. Because the Bible said, in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our very being. And that's what the devil wants us to think. He wants us to pet this flesh. He wants us to get something to feel sorry for ourselves. He wants people, when we come to church, say, oh, you look bad. And I just tell them, say, well, I may look bad, but I sure feel good. Amen. Don't let the devil get you down. I mean, wintertime, depression hits people hard. It really does. They can't get out. They can't go here. They can't do this. And they want to sit inside, close all the blinds. No, throw them blinds open. Let the light in. Let everything shine. Cut that 100-watt bulb on if you have to. Brighten your day up. Get you a scripture. Stand on it. Get in front of that full-length mirror and say, hallelujah. Glory to God. About 30-some more days, and I'm going to Florida. Hallelujah. Donna, you can have all the snow, you and Tracy. I hope y'all have all the snow you want. Amen. I don't like it myself. Amen. But do you know what? I'm not going to let it bother me. And I'm shocked that there's this many people came out today because of the bad weather. Thank y'all for listening to me.